Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
G'day everyone and welcome to another edition of Tuesday Night Live, brought to you by Crowcast. Of course, lots to talk about, some big news again today for the Crows. So without any further ado, let's just crack straight in, shall we? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tuesday Night Live. This Tuesday, the 28th of September, 2021. The first Tuesday Night Live of the off-season, of course, with a grand final run and one on the weekend. And joining me, as always, on a Tuesday night is the inimitable Peter J. How are you going, Peter?
Very well, mate. Yourself?
Pretty good, thank you. What's going on, mate?
There is. It's been another pretty big day. For us, Spain. So we're very, very happy to hear that news about Darren Burgess. That's a really, really big. I don't want to sound silly about it, but it'd be one of the biggest signings we've had in many, many year, I think, to be honest.
What happened last time we had an international standard fitness coach, Pete?
When was that? Oh, that's right. Yes, it was way back in those heady mid to late 90 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of premierships. Although Nick Poulos did all right. I don't think fitness was our issue when Nick was on board, and he had the Crowbots running pretty well, and it was probably more just a case of a bit of snow and a bit of bad luck cost us a couple during his tenure. But Craigie, widely regarded as one of the major factors in our 97-98 victory, so it is a massive get, getting Darren into the club. Really good. He's already, by all reports, issued out instructions for pre-season for the boys, a bit of a program before they rock back up. And, we're straight into it tonight, but there's a couple of players that you think are going to benefit substantially from having him on board, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, not least of which would be our next generation midfielders of Harry and yep. Harry Schoenberg and Luke Pedler and those guys, Braden Cook, those younger guys. I think that it's probably easy to look at Darcy Fogarty and say, yep, he will benefit. But I think really the guys that will benefit are other midfielders, those young guys coming through that we're looking to take ownership of the midfield. They'll benefit greatly, and it was interesting after the granny to hear the tribute paid to Burgess by some of the midfielders at Melbourne.
Yeah, they didn't miss. They didn't miss.
They all acknowledged him, and yeah. he's a guru. There's no question about that. And it is it's exciting. It's a big signing, and wherever he goes, success generally follows. And so I think it just. It's a thing, same as with Dawson, it just sends messages, that there are people within the four walls that believe that we're heading in the right direction. So I think that's really, really positive for the football club.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and it just continues a succession of positive appointments. We weren't sure about Manny Nix when he came on board, but I think most people would agree that he's done a stellar job with the young lads. We've replaced Robbie Chapman with Johnny Olsen, and John seems to be very proactive in promoting the club and making deals and getting things happening. Tim Silvers, of course, comes with a massive stint at Hawthorn in various roles and highly regarded. Adam Kelly did well with the Sandfall before coming across, you know, our coaching panel now with Scotty Burns and Nathan Van Berlo and James Riley and, you know, Matty Clark. There's a lot of experience there now, a lot of experience at other clubs. And now to bring Darren on board as well to look after the fitness department.
Feels like we're being run by football people, doesn't it?
Well, and it actually feels like we're serious, Pete, doesn't it?
And it feels like that we're worrying about, and what I really like about John Olsen is that he's cleaning house and he's pulling the plug on all of these little other side endeavours. And when he came on board, he said his sole focus was going to be football. We're back on brand.
Yep.
So that's really, really good.
Yep.
Really promising.
Look, it is. I made a quip on Big Footy this evening that, you know, they spent a fortune on Dunstall and Pav to come in and consult and tell them to clean out. And all they needed to do was listen to us for 12 months, Peter, and save themselves a ton of money.
look, if they'd only just tuned in, would have been easy. But, I really, really like what we're doing.
And, you know, we copped a bit for being so negative back then, but I think, not that I feel vindicated as such, but what I do feel is that pretty much everything that I wanted to happen personally at the club to change it around has happened. And I think a lot of our listeners would agree that just about every change that's been instigated by the club since hitting the bottom of the barrel has been really positive. And, you know, not all decisions work out, but I think that the tone and the motivations and the desired outcomes are very positive. And it's all focused on football success, which is what we've been crying out for, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, not here to pump up our tyres, but we did go through a period there where, as a podcast, we copped quite a bit, and there's probably, you know, we've got some certainly some rusted on great listeners that have been with us right since the start. We would have a lot of new people as well, and you know, during that period, you and I were both really, really down and negative on the club, and we used to cop it from listeners as well, and on
Twitter. I got smashed on Twitter a few times.
We get smashed, and you know, I think that this year I've been, you know, it's certainly on this podcast, I've tried to be as positive as I can every week. And I think you have as well. And I think that, you know, as thinking, you know, we all love the club. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother doing this, would we? It's not like I'm on, you know, 2.5 a year to come and talk here.
Yeah.
So we do it because we love the club.
Sorry, mate. We'll have to renegotiate.
But, you know, I think that if you want the best for your football club and you think critically about it. And what we've always tried to do, I think, is to think critically and offer a podcast that does think critically, then you could see. And I reckon, you know, I'm just going to segue into a couple of, you know, things that have happened over the last couple of nights with player exits.
Yeah.
And I see that Tom Lynch gave us another whack, another player leaving.
Reportedly.
Let's give us a whack on the way
out.
Did
we have reportedly a quote from Tom, or was that just kind of scuttlebutt?
Well, I reckon if it was just scuttlebutt, Fane, I reckon Tom Lynch would be the kind of bloke that probably would have wanted to clarify that, and he certainly
probably
hasn't.
Yeah,
he's just let that flow. And, you know, back in 2016 and early 2017, you know, during those seasons, we used to bang on endlessly about what we thought was some real cracks in the character of the group.
Yeah.
We used to talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And I just reckon it's just with the way that the senior players have behaved in the last couple of years, I reckon it's really played out that there was a real culture of entitlement.
Yeah. Look, and, you know, to counter that, I guess, every player that I've talked to holds Lynchy in really high regard, and that's what made me prick up my ears when that was reportedly said, or that was his sentiment. But we've also heard that Daniel Talia hasn't been particularly happy. And I guess you get that with players that feel that they've got a bit left in the tank. It's not even not even in the same stratosphere. But I remember when I started getting dropped from A's playing in amateurs and, you know, the whole youth policy, I wasn't particularly happy about it either, you know. So you kind of, I get where they're coming from, but you're absolutely right, Peter, that we did from a long way back. I think before Walshy came on board, we identified, you know, a fragility.
Just,
and
something wasn't quite right.
Yeah, and you know, there were games that, you know, and you were very good at pointing out games that that were pivotal, that we should have won, that we didn't. And that was a consistent theme all the way through to the 2017 grand final. And, you know, it's nothing against the individuals concerned, but there was just something about the group that just lent itself to a bit of fragility. Whereas, I think I said this to you one or two podcasts ago, I don't get that sense out of this group, Pete. I just get a sense of steeliness and determination and willingness to work and willingness to play for each other. And I think a lot of that has got to go back to the way that Nick's has handled himself as a coach and how he's been able to bring the group together and give them a common purpose. And, you know, by all reports, it's a selfless team culture down there now, and you're playing for each other. And I kind of like that.
I do, and we see stories coming out of the Melbourne Football Club over the weekend. Like, the first thing that Petracca did was to put his North Smith away.
Yeah,
he wasn't interested in it because that set him apart from the rest of the group, which he didn't want. And you had which player was it? Was it Harms? There was a player who went to in the last 10 minutes. He asked the coach if he could sub off so the medical sub could get a
cramping. And they said, we can't take you off for that.
It's just little things. They're just little things, aren't they? But they give you a window into what a team, you know, culture is. And I absolutely agree. And we had this conversation last week about, you know, with Alistair Clarkson and, you know, being around the place. And I would absolutely be reappointing Matthew Nix. And I would be doing it sooner rather than later, Bane, because that is going to be a circus next year, about midway through the year, when Clarko decides to put his head up over the parapet. That is going to be a circus, and any coach who is out of contract is going to be in the gum as far as the media is concerned, and you do not want that distraction.
It's a really good point you make, Peter, and I 100% agree with you that we need to take the pressure off Nick's as soon as possible. I think he needs to show that the teams continue to move forward in the first, you know, half a dozen games of the season. But I wouldn't be hanging around if, you know, if things are continuing to move positively and the group's gelling and everything's working well, then absolutely lock him in, get him out of the spotlight, because you know who's going to be in the gun in this town. It's going to be Ken Hinckley that's in the gun.
Yeah, it's going to be Hinckley.
Yep.
And let them deal with it. I don't want, you know, I don't want our team to be going through that hoo-ha. Unless, you know, and I hope this isn't the case, but if the board have made a decision that they're going to, you know, chase after Clarko, well, I suppose then, you know, that's what happens. But I think that if they're thinking that Nix is the one to take him forward, then get it done, get him signed up sooner rather than later, and then just remove the circus from our club.
Yeah. And, you know, Al Clarkson's proven himself to be a good coach, clearly. But he hasn't been one to take on a group of young men. You know, he got the benefit of a couple of good drafts and made the most of it. And, you know, they had some ridiculously good talent there during their halcyon days. But, you know, he had a propensity to top up after that, not dissimilar to what Geelong have been doing. And he had a bit more success than Geelong. But I'm 100% on Nix, and I look forward to Port tearing themselves apart, trying to get Kenny out the door so that Al can get in. And I reckon it'll be Kenny to Geelong, Clarkson to Port Adelaide, and Chris Scott probably to Carlton, because I'll be due a new coach by about round 14 or 15.
They absolutely will.
Yeah, so
they now listen, absolutely will.
I heard, I was listening to, I don't know why, but I was listening to Trade Radio on the way home this afternoon, and Matty Randall, who sounded like he'd had about two cases.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To the beer.
He sounded like H.G. Nelson.
Did you hear
it? Yeah, I heard it. He sounded like H.G. He was an absolute dead ringer for H.G. Nelson.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's a good comparison, actually. But by G, he was bullish on the Crows. And I've got to say, Peter, and he missed a few. He didn't spend, like, he was going through the regulars, but he missed a couple. Lucky Glenn in particular, I feel like he missed. But very bullish on the Crows. And I've got to say, Peter, you mentioned earlier that we've been trying to be positive on this cast this year. It's not difficult because the young talent is there. We've got another draft to go through, which we'll talk about in a minute, and a trade period. But the young talent is there. We're not that far off. And as he rightly pointed out, and we've said before, in terms of playing the kids, you've got to get 50 games into them as quickly as possible. For some of these lads now, it's going into the third season for them. And I expect a bit of a push.
Absolutely. No question about that. And you're right. It's easy to be positive, even as critical thinkers. You can be absolutely positive when you're seeing good things off the field. And you're seeing all the right noises, the right moves, And, even the Balm thing fell through, which I was, a bit annoyed at, but at least we had a crack, and we're trying to get the right people into the football club. We're divesting ourselves of all these other silly operations that aren't football, and we're getting a really good group. We're starting to we're recruiting. The Dawson thing is a huge thing.
Yeah, massive.
To recruit a player to the football club, that's massive. And we're looking like the last couple of drafts look like we've hit pretty well. Yep. And we've had 23 players sign on this year.
Yeah,
23. That's an amazing number.
When was the last season that no one's wanted to leave, Pete?
Yep, massive buy-in from all the players, and so that's and the other good thing that we've done is that we're saying to players, look, here's what we can afford to pay you. Because we're going out, we're really trying to build a list here. So we're saying to guys like Matt Crouch, well, we'll give you a contract. It's on our terms, not yours.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, if you're already part of this, then go.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so you're saying all these really, really good things, and I like Matt Crouch. Like as you well know, I think there's a place for him in our side, but on our terms.
Yeah, in the twos. Sorry.
That's fine. And so you're right, you can be really positive with the way that it's looking, and you can start to see the pieces falling into place on the field.
So just touching on another little piece of news, and I really don't want to go on about it, but something that we were all over a couple of years ago, Peter, has been put to bed from a legal perspective, at least. SafeWork SA finding no case against the Crows with regards to the camp.
And again, I think this was a really, really good process for the club to have gone through, because they can now properly close the book and they can't be criticised. They can't be. It shuts down the media.
Yep.
It shuts down approaches from ex-players. So, you know, that's been a really good legal process to have gone through. The interesting one that I think maybe still to play out will be, I have a feeling that Collective Minds themselves might still have some defamation stuff going on with the media in Victoria. I've got a funny feeling that they were looking at that. I'm not quite sure if that's played out.
Well, someone mentioned Caro. I actually thought it was Sam McClure. Might be both. They didn't nab us because everything that I said was straight up truth. I didn't make any assumptions. I went and all that we said was stuff that I got off various websites and research.
It's all open source, man.
That's
all open source. And look, we but you know, back when it happened, we picked it to pieces, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And but you know, I'm pleased now that the club has gone through that process, and so as supporters we can all be happy that, you know, our you know, everything from a compliance point of view is on point. It wasn't great. You know, we don't have to go into the nitty gritty of it, but I think that it just gives us a little bit of protection and some comfort going forward.
Yeah. Well, and the beauty of the whole situation is it's a full stop from a legal standpoint, and as you said, probably from a media standpoint after a parting shot from the regulars. But the other good thing is that essentially everyone involved in that decision, barring Mark Ricciuto, is including 99% of the players, probably only Sloaney, Smith and one or two others, it's all gone. The remnants of that is all gone. For better or worse, it's all gone. And so, you know, I like the way the club addressed it. I like the fact that they made a statement and left it at that. I've actually really enjoyed the statements that the club's been making. The statement on Dawson was great. Like three lines and that's it. You know, not buying into anything. Good that that's put to bed, pretty much. And we can move on from that sorry tale. Which, I'll just ask you quickly before we move on to other things. What do you think quickly of the GF?
It was an extraordinary game, wasn't it?
Mm.
I reckon it was one of the most bizarre games of football I've seen. And, you know, when you think that just prior to the Avalanche, the Bulldogs went 8-1.
Yeah.
And then from 8-1, it swung around to 16-1 the other way.
Yeah.
And so I you know, the whole thing was really quite bizarre. And I think it just showed there was a couple of things I thought that were interesting. It showed that maybe that, you know, the reemergence of the importance of ruckman. You know,
yes.
Have we underestimated that with the 666? And the fact that, you know, you see that with good ruck work out of the centre, good clearance work, that, you know, with 666 and a good midfield, then, you know, you can kick, you know, 3 in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah, and I'm kind of said a similar thing on Sunday night, but I will temper it by saying that, yes, Daniel Jackson got on top of the Bulldogs and they didn't seem to have a plan for the number two ruckman. The way they set up in the midfield in that period was horrific, Bulldogs, not protecting the backside of the contest and just allowing Melbourne to run through. So, but I think I made the point to Mac on Sunday that teams have won grand finals or flags with average ruckman, but no one's ever won a flag with a bad ruckman, have they?
No.
So, and I think having two of the quality of Gawn and Jackson, I mean, Jackson was an absolute find for them. And, he cost them a bit, but that kid's going to be anything over the next 10 years.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be absolutely brilliant. It was interesting. Interesting, though, with, you know, the last few games for us, when we, with our rucks, our ruck setup, I was just thinking, you know, in that situation, who do you think, if we were in that grand final situation, who do you think is better at ruck contest out of Strawn and O'Brien? I go for Strawn. I really do. I'm a big fan.
Well, you want a guy that can put the ball to hand, don't you? You know, Riley O'Brien is fairly indiscriminate with his hitouts. Kieran showed himself to be able to work the ball a little bit better and put it to advantage. So, absolutely, someone like Strawn in that situation, 100%. I really enjoyed it, the grand final. I thought it was a great spectacle, even though it was a blowout in the end. It was enjoyable footy to watch, wasn't it?
It was a really good game of football. And, you know, it was a shame that it ended up being 74 points. It just didn't feel like that, did it?
No, it didn't. Well, it happened so quickly. I mean,
it felt like it was going to be about, you know, either level or a goal of difference at three-quarter time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just, it was amazing that how Melbourne just blew that within about, and then, you know, sort of like a minute either side of three-quarter time, the game was gone. It was dead.
Yeah, three goals in 50 seconds. Unbelievable.
Eight minutes to go in the third quarter, and Bulldogs are 19 points up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just strange, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was two very attacking teams, and massive momentum shifts. I just felt like, and again, sorry for repeating myself for those who listened on Sunday night, but I feel like the Bulldogs are always running on emotion a little bit more than other teams, and they certainly dropped their bundle when Melbourne just steamrolled them either side of three-quarter time, and they had nothing left in the tank, I don't think.
No, that's right. And, you know, they paid tribute to Burgess after the game to that run that they still had in their legs. So, I enjoyed the game, and I thought that the Doggies were a little bit unlucky to be, you know, you look at that in the years to come, you look at that scorecard and it won't tell the story of the game. It was just amazing that, and they kicked, and when they had that period of dominance, they kicked so accurately too. Wasn't it 16 goals for or something?
Yeah, they didn't miss. Didn't miss.
They just didn't miss. And they're incredibly impressive. Petrarca was obviously impressive. The latter cross halfback, what's his name? The left footer, I can't think of it. Salem, he was really good.
Christian Salem, he was very good. Yes, I agree.
He was underrated.
Gus Brayshaw on a wing, Fritch up forward.
Oh, Brayshaw was great. It was just lots of them, wasn't there?
Yeah.
The big guys were great. So it was a really complete team performance.
Yeah. And I reckon they'll be up and about for a few years, you know. You can't predict a dynasty, but I think they've got the nucleus of a really good team that isn't going to fall away in a hurry. So we're going to be talking about Melbourne for the next few years in dispatches, I think.
Yeah, they had about eight players that were, I think, in their either second year or something like that, second or first year, something like that.
Eight players under 21 or something, or under 23 or something like that.
Yeah, something silly.
Yeah.
They just had that. It's funny, it was almost like that, you know, Goody thought, we're not quite there. We just need to tank one more year. So let's just, we'll tank 2019. And they just nailed that.
Yeah.
Jackson, Pickett, and Rivers, you know. All three of those kids played on Saturday night. And so they just, they just nailed that draft. And that just goes to show, you know, you nail that draft, makes a big difference.
Yes, it does. And that's a very nice little segue into some trade and draft discussions, Peter. Now, of course, you know,
indeed,
talked about Geordie last week, and that's all going to happen, hopefully, and the Swans will play nice with us. Little bit of talk around during the trade period. A couple of notable delistings. One in particular that pricked my ears up was, and someone mentioned in the chat just now, the Charlie Cameron's brother has been cut by Western Australia. Seems to have all the attributes,
it was on his request, I understand it. And so I think that there is some issues at play there in terms of, I think that he has some injuries. I think he has some other issues.
Yeah.
And so, not quite sure where that sits. So I wouldn't think he would be somebody that's on our radar.
Yeah. Yeah. The lad from the Bulldogs, Lipinski, has nominated Collingwood. So he's off the table. Who else was there? Charles going to Gold Coast. There was one other I was thinking of. Oh, Finlayson potentially to Port Adelaide, coming to South Australia for family reasons.
Yep. And Tim O'Brien Finlayson, they're in the frame to Port, and also Laddams, they're shopping, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Laddams are shopping around, yeah. Which is interesting. Yeah.
Mm.
I wouldn't expect to.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
To be too busy in trade period in terms of players, Peter, I think our interest might be in picks. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's where the action's going to be for us and what we're going to do with that pick four. So some interesting. So there was a little bit of news reported through the week that it, us and Richmond are in the race for that Gold Coast pick three.
Yeah,
and that's an interesting little bit of information itself if we treat it for what it is and say that, you know, there's obviously a significant reason for us wanting to shell out some capital just to go one further pick.
Mm, mm.
So it's going to be really, really interesting. Everyone plays things pretty close to their chest prior to the trade period, obviously, but particularly from the players' camps. So it's probably, if you're a kid like Finn Callahan, who is a known, you know, he's a classic Vic Metro, private school, family relations with Luke Beveridge, mad Western Bulldog supporter, he'd be the last kid you'd want to draft.
Yeah.
Based upon all of that, so but who knows Hudson what's going on? It sounds like it, doesn't it? Now he would be just sitting there, trembling and almost in tears, looking at that draft order at the moment, saying GWS, Gold Coast, Adelaide at 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah,
I'm not going to talk about the father sons. So
no, they're out of the
discussion. He's talking the open draft.
Yeah.
So, but I guess you have to wait until that draft order is finalised after trade week, because that's when, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if once that draft order is, you know, if it stays the same, then that's when kids like Callahan are probably going to start, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you start hearing a bit more, bit firmer kind of press releases put out or tidbits put out about, you know, trying to, you know, either put teams off or do the Archie Perkins or the Bailey Smith.
Yeah.
Thing. And I mean, I've heard whispers around the place about Jason Horn and about the fact that he hasn't interviewed particularly well in that regard. He's another one, you know, that's another one where they could just be sitting and waiting what the draft order is going to be. So I guess I wonder whether, you know, if we're looking at going to pick three, do we know something? Do we know GWS looking at most of the draft watchers, particularly those that are that follow GWS more closely, are really, really hot on a tall or a key position player.
Yeah.
So whether Josh Gibkus is a player that they would reach for it too as a key defender,
I reckon they do, Peter. Because
do you reckon they do?
How many midfielders do you need? They've got about 20 of them, and they've really lost a fair bit of key position strength, in my opinion. I reckon they are a candidate to either reach for Gibkus at 2 or to split number 2 and
get
Gibkus, you know, at Richmond's spot, maybe. I don't
know. Yeah, that's right. And if Horn and Callahan kind of interview in such a way, then, you know, is there a possibility that North end up taking Callahan and Horn slips down to 3? Do we know about that? Is that something, do Richmond know that? And so is this the reason why we're looking at, you know, getting three, and our Gold Coast saying, well, okay, you know, if you guys want this, and let's just speculate.
Yeah.
You know, is Gold Coast going to say, look, this is a real chance for us to really, you know, shake the tree and get something pretty good?
Yeah.
Because they don't want Pat Callaghan or Horn for the same reasons, because if, you know, if they haven't interviewed well, or if it was, you know, there's any sort of flavour to that. So, you know, do they, you know, would they look at it, maybe a pick four plus a Himmelberg, who's from Queensland? Would they be inquiring after Ben Keys, who's a Queenslander? I'm not saying, you know, but if you're at, so this is one I'll throw at you.
Mm.
If Adelaide have got wind that GWS are looking for a tall, that North Melbourne are concerned at the go-home factor of Horn, that Callaghan maybe is the preferred pick at one, and maybe he suits their midfield better. And if Gold Coast say, well, look, we would take pick four plus Keys, are you doing that to get Horn?
Are you doing that for the chance to get Horn? Because nothing's guaranteed until you read out his name. Benny Keys is a big one to give up for a chance.
That absolutely he is. And I'm not sure. So you have to, you know, for them to, all I'm, I guess what I'm saying is that for them, if they're saying, right, we want to trade up to pick three.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an odd thing, isn't it? To say, well, actually, you know, you just want to go for, you know, one spot up.
Yeah.
So what I'm suggesting is that they would only do that if they know something.
If they were prepared to chuck Ben Keys into that transaction, something's definitely afoot. I wouldn't mind betting that four and Himmelberg for three might be
that's
something.
That's what I prefer.
Yeah, and given what
they need,
Yeah,
yeah. I would much prefer that. I guess I was just throwing both of the Queenslanders on the list.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Gold Coast would prefer. I mean, I would think that that Himmelberg would be a great foil for Ben King. It would take a lot of physical pressure off of him.
Yeah, just the same as we've been talking about him taking the heat for Riley as he develops too.
Yeah,
same role.
Absolutely right, and same role. And I don't think they've got someone to play that role.
No, that's right. They don't.
And so Elliot could be one that they might want to, you know, prize away, and that does suit their need for an experienced key position player, and someone who I think could potentially add a lot of value to Gold Coast. But I don't think, you know, I don't think anything like saying, well, how about pick four and our 2022 first is going to have any appeal at all to Gold Coast.
I don't think they want picks.
They're just continually going for picks,
yeah,
and it's a roundabout for them. And I think that there would be some appeal to if you had an Elliot who's a Queenslander,
yeah,
who's coming home, who they knew that would stay long term, and could fill a really, really valuable role for them.
Yeah. Well, the other interesting thing, Peter, is that the AFL have allowed Gold Coast this year to trade their concession pick.
Yeah.
So the first one they had a couple of years ago, they weren't allowed to move it. They had to use it. But this year they're allowed to use pick 19. And that suggests to me that the Gold Coast have gone to them and say, look, you know, this could help us make the moves that we need to make. We need to be flexible with it. And the AFL have gone, yeah, of course.
Yep.
So that adds a little funny one. Look, I'll put something else to you. Let's swap Callaghan and Horn Francis for a minute. Let's say Finn was the South Aussie and Jason was the Victorian. Mm-hmm. And it's widely accepted that Jason is the better player overall than Finn Callaghan. Say both are available to the Crows at the next draft pick. Do you take the local lad or do you take the better Victorian lad?
That's a really, really good question. And my gut feeling, Fien, is without them actually having announced it, I do feel as though that we've gone in that direction of being prepared to take, you know, or wanting to take the South Australian player.
I'm thinking more from the Victorian point of view, though. if you're North Melbourne...
If you're North Melbourne.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to apply in reverse. So if you're North Melbourne and you've got Jason Horton, the South Aussie, who's a slightly better player than Finn Callaghan, who's a Victorian, are you making the same sort of choice as you would if the roles were reversed? You know, we would probably take the South Aussie kid. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Would a Victorian team, particularly a team like North Melbourne, who can't really afford flight risks in their current stage of their development, would they more be inclined to take the Victorian lad, who's maybe just slightly not as good as the gilt edge number one?
Oh, I think they might. Because I think that there's a look. I think there's a lot of extraneous factors now that weren't there 2-3 years ago with the pandemic and the way state borders are. Because you know, before 100%. You could, if you get drafted into state, oh, it doesn't matter because you can fly home, you know, every week or you know whatever. Now, you might not see your family for 6 months.
Yeah, that's right.
So that becomes a big thing, and I'm sure that's influenced, you know, guys like Dawson and like, you know, that want to be traded home, and so that could be a thing. But I also think that Callaghan probably fits North Melbourne's midfield a little bit better.
Quite possibly.
Just in terms of the players that they've drafted over the last few years, they've got, I think, those aggressive inside players.
Yeah.
And so I think that Callaghan probably fits their list need a little bit better as well.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be, you know, I think it's quite, you know, it's not impossible, but I just think, you know, if we're to believe, and, you know, it's all media reporting, isn't it? But if we are to believe that we're in the market for pick three, there's got to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because the reason that I say that is because the way that the draft is that you've really got a top two. You know, we're almost getting back to sort of like that Raoul Anderson.
Raoul Anderson,
You've got that very, very clear top two. And then once you're getting into three, then you're getting into Ben Hobbs, you know, Ward, a few other kids that you know you can throw a blanket over. So why are we wanting to go for three? Because we're really, you know, to get someone at three, you're probably going to get, you know, a similar kind of player at four.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I agree. You reckon GWS had cut our lunch under those circumstances? Would they be fixated on getting a tall? They'd just take the best available talent. Because let's face it, Jason will play round one.
I think that they would just say, look, if Horn's there, we're taking him.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be an issue, but I think that I'd say, look, I think that they'd say, you know, that we're looking at drafting such and such, because as much as we think that it's all, you know, ducks and drakes and, you know, secret squirrels, the reality is they all know.
Yeah.
They all know the order. That's why, you know, for instance, in, you know, 2019, we trade back for McAfee. Do we know he's going to be there?
Yeah.
How do we know that? Because they talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I just think that
Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I find it strange that we would be in the market for pick three.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's speculation to a degree. I mean, there's been some scuttlebutt about it. It's widely accepted that Gold Coast have come out and said that they're willing to talk deals on pick three for certain scenarios. Mm. We've obviously been mentioned in dispatches because we're around there. You know, the club is obviously silent, and fair enough too. So it is all speculation. Look, I think at the end of the day, Jason goes to North and that's the end of it. But, you know, that's the logical outcome. Which then begs the question, Peter, if GWS then went for a tall at two, do we take the punt on Callaghan?
Now that is the question. Do we take the punt on Callaghan? That's a very, very interesting question. It's a very, very good player. I think, you know, you would just have to, you know, back Hamish on how he interviews.
Yeah.
And what their feel is for his capacity to move into state and to read that situation and whether he's a flight risk. You know,
I'm leading to something. because if you're not going to take Callaghan, then you may as well cash out, in my opinion.
Absolutely right. You might as well split those picks.
Yes.
And get yourself plenty of other, you know, good talent around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure whether you want to spend a pick four on a Ben Hobbs or a Josh Ward, who, whilst, you know, good, decent players, they're not in that.
If you've been hurt by a truck, you can call Colombo Law 24/7 and we'll be there to make sure you're taken care of. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Elite category.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it will depend very much on how Callaghan presents himself to non-Victorian clubs. You know, everyone's talking about his background and all the rest of it. And it poses a risk. But he's not the first player to have connections that have found, you know, homes at non-Victorian clubs and made successes of it. The problem I guess I've got, issue that I've got is, I've got the hiccups, which is very untimely, is the fact that we are loaded up with South Australian kids and he might be a little bit friendless. I mean, no one wants to be friends with Ned McHenry, for God's sakes. He's about the only Victorian youngster we got, isn't he?
Well, we haven't got a lot of them.
Nothing.
And I think that we have. I think we have been on this path.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ned, by the way.
So, yeah, maybe Fisher McAsee, but that's probably about it. But I think that we have gone down this path of, and I think that we, and I've said this before, I think that you underestimate when there's only, you know, four or five picks the difference. You know, are you getting that much of a better player that counteracts the fact that the player that goes later is a kid that is a South Australian, who's probably played with four or five of your teammates, you know, from under 14s, under 15s, under 16s.
Yeah.
They're all good mates. He'll come in, he'll play a role, he'll be happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're talking the difference between, you know, say pick 9 and pick 15, is there really that much of a difference?
You're singing from my hymn book, Peter, because that's the logical progression that I'm seeing. You know, if we trade up, then there's a sniff for Horn. If we don't trade up and we hold, then Callaghan has interviewed well. But if we all of a sudden start sniffing around for a pick swap, it means that the 1 and 2 scenarios hasn't played out, and I would back the club then to, talk to a Richmond at 7 and 13 or whatever they've got, 7 and 16. Talk to one or two of these other clubs. There's not a lot of clubs that have first round currency. There's a few clubs that are out of the first round completely. But I would be exploring options. And then you're getting into your Matty Roberts and your Arlo Drapers and these types. And, even further down the draft, there's a couple of young kids that, you know, might take a little bit longer to come on, but certainly got some ability. We're only going to have 3 picks. We might only even have 2 picks if we decide to upgrade a rookie.
I think the real bolter is going to be Nazaia Wanganeen-Malira.
Yeah,
he is really firming as a bolter. He was again really impressive on Saturday in the under 19 game against Western Australia, and should have been. I thought was again our best player as he was the other week, but they gave it to Blaine O'Loughlin, which I didn't agree with at all. But that was my opinion. I think, you know, 22 positions is great, but if you get, you know, 12 of them from, you know, running out kickouts, I just don't rate that myself. But Nazaia is, have you seen him?
Yeah, will he get up to the first round, do you think? Because he's come from a fair way back.
He'll get in the first round.
You reckon?
Absolutely get in the first round.
Yeah.
No question about that. On his performances in the state games, he has just blossomed. And, you know, some really nice performances at league level as well.
Yeah.
He is a player that the game just slows down around him. I reckon I would like to see him on our list because he's got a really, really nice mix of being that really, really smooth moving outside wing type player. But I saw an interesting stat the other day that so far this season for the Bays, he's 46% of his possessions have been won at the contest.
So I
think his contested game is really undersold.
Yeah.
And what I really love about, if anyone wants to go and have a look at Nzaia's vision, just watch the way he gets back in defence. So he's a real true wingman. He gets right. He's like an Ed Langdon in the sense he'll get right back to that defensive goal.
Well, that first WA game a few weeks ago, I actually thought he was playing back. Thought he was playing half back.
Yeah. So he does get back, and he delivers the ball. Anyway, so he's one to look at. Alo Draper, of course, will be around the mark. I think that Matty
really
Robinson is drifting a little bit. Alo.
Yeah, I really hope we pick Arlo up. I like what I see. It might take a little while to develop physically, but he's got some tricks, that kid, I reckon.
Yeah. So Matty Roberts is drifting a bit. I don't think that's his fault.
No.
So I think he'll still be a very, very good pickup for anybody, but he looks like he's starting to drift out towards, you know, that maybe somewhere between 15 and 25.
Yeah, late teens, early 20s, yeah. I think Matty's weapons are underrated.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Like he looks a little vanilla, and he looks like a bit of a loper, and he is a little bit one pace. He's not ultra quick, but he's not slow either. But I think he will surprise at AFL level. I think whoever ends up with Matty Roberts will get a damn good player, a bit of a bargain at late first round, early second round, really.
How tall is who there? We're talking about, J&M. He said to me, how tall is he, Pete? I'm not quite sure which player we're talking about.
Miller Road, Wanganeen, I think.
Oh, so he's like about 188. He's 188, 189. So he's a really nice size, really, really nice size. Yeah. I love him. Matt has been, we've had that discussion, he had that nasty injury to his ankle. Yeah. He's come back. He's been played completely out of position at South Adelaide League level.
Yeah,
but still not disgracing himself.
He didn't look too bad last week, I tell you. And I won't say that just yet. We'll finish off with that. But he didn't look too bad in the game last week.
People forget that when he was playing in his own age group in the position that he should be playing in, he was annihilating the opposition.
Yes, he was.
So anyway, we'll see how that goes. But yes, I think you're right. We need to. There's either going to be that push for one of those top two. Or I think that if we can't get one of those top two, then I think we'll split our picks.
I'd be very surprised if we went to the draft with pick four and didn't pick Callaghan if he was available. I'd be very surprised, because that's the only reason I think you keep pick four in this draft. Anyway,
I think Matty Nix is. I think he's so bullish about his squad at the moment. I reckon he would just say to Hamish, "You just pick the best player, and you give him 2 years with me."
Yeah,
that's
probably a fair call. Yeah, well, very interesting, and we'll look into it in more depth as next week comes about. Of course, I think we were talking dates last week, and I think trade period starts next week, doesn't it? I think.
Next week. Yep.
Unrestricted delistees or whatever the hell it is now. I can't keep up, but we'll keep covering it. Just looking at the time, Pete. Very quickly, Bryce Gibbs and the lad's name I've forgotten. Joint
Cetus.
McGarry, Cetus. Yes. Joint.
Cetus.
Now, there's never been a bad player that's won the McGarry medal. But I have to say, I watched Bryce Gibbs in that match on the weekend at Glenelg South, and it was the softest, squibbiest game of football from a AFL hardened player in a knockout final that I have ever seen.
Yeah, Bryce Gibbs.
But ordinary doesn't cut it, mate. He squibbed and he tanked out the back and he kicked around the body, and I was shocked when he won that McGarry. I really was.
Yeah, it goes up a cog finals football, even at Sandford level, and he just wasn't. I didn't think he was much in any of the South games that I saw at finals level.
No, I was watching it thinking, geez, if I was young Sampson or Jason Horn or Matty Roberts or Schultz, the other South Adelaide lad, and I saw some of the efforts that Bryce would be putting in, I'd be be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you look at a kid like Jason and what he put in to win that game, and just that competitiveness. Yeah, just a different. And look, let's be frank. It's, you know, that really hard edge competitiveness is not something that Bryce would be known for throughout his career.
No, he probably had two seasons at Carlton when he was playing off halfback, where he seemed to harden up a bit. And that was, I guess, what everyone was kind of hoping he'd bring over here. But no, it was a good performance for him. But, you know, he's a McGarry medalist and we're not, so what the hell do we know?
Exactly.
But congratulations to both of them. Just quickly, that young lad, Samson, for South, how old is he?
Yep. How old is he?
Yeah.
Did you see? I'm not sure, actually. I think he's early 20s, maybe 22, 21, 22.
Be a good mature age pick, I reckon.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of his dad.
Clay, yeah.
And I think he's, you know, that his kick reminds me a lot of his dad's as well.
Scoot saying he's 19. I wonder if if he's nominated. I thought he played really well in that game. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Peter, just to round out, because we got Arab wants to have a quick say. You got, if you need to go, Pete, yeah. Then.
No, that's fine. We'll have a chat.
I mean, Arab child, and if anyone else wants to have a quick chat, now's the time to do it. How you going, mate?
Hi, mate. How you going?
Good. What can we do for you? That's the most sense that anyone said on this podcast tonight. Pete, are you there?
I can't hear a word that Arab child is saying.
No,
Arab child saying so.
I can't either. I'm sure he's making a lot of sense, but unfortunately we can't hear him. Sorry, mate. You had this trouble the other night. I'm going to have to kick you out. Does anyone else that wants to have a quick chat? Don't forget, we'll be continuing on Tuesday night, Peter, and without your permission, I've invited my cohorts on Sunday night to come in one at a time. I think Macca might be joining us next Tuesday.
Oh, I haven't had a chat with Macca for ages. Be good to catch up with Macca.
That's right. It'll be a bit of an old school three-way. no crossing swords.
No.
But it'll be good. And Mac's been all over the machinations of the list and the draft and all the rest of it. So
I like having Mac. I like having Macca as a resource because I just cannot get my head around all the list number stuff.
Right.
So I'm going to leave that to Macca.
I was stupid enough to bloody question him a couple of weeks ago, and didn't I look like a dickhead as a result? That's stupid. What was I thinking? Anyway,
it'd be good to chat to Macca.
All right. So, no Sunday wrap this week and for the rest of the season, of course, but Tuesday next week we will be back and we will probably have a bit to talk about in terms of trade week. And we might do a little bit of a list. We might start a bit of a list, like a depth chart discussion, Peter. So just have a little bit of a think about where we sit in each of the three key areas or four key areas, I guess. And we might... we might break that out depending on how much other stuff we've got to talk about. In the meantime, thanks everyone for joining us. Thanks to all those on Discord. And thanks to everyone, of course, who supports us through Patreon. If you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/AFL Crowcast and get amongst that. Really good support during the year, Peter, as you and I were chatting about earlier this evening on Twitter.
No, brilliant.
So we appreciate it. So anyway, very good. Thanks, Peter, for your time as usual. Thanks, everyone, on chat, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. Good night.
Thanks, everyone. Cheers now.